Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
Father Colton. Doesn't that sound nice? What do you all think? Doesn't that sound nice, Father Colton? That may be the last time they clap, Father Colton. Welcome to the team. Your Excellency, Bishop Kinnaman, the new Bishop of Biloxi, Bishop Warren, the Bishop Emeritus, to Miss Donna, Colton's mom, and to his family and friends, to the great people of God here at Our Lady of the Gulf, to brother priests, deacons, and seminarians, in a particular way to the pastor, Father Michael O'Connor, with great hospitality as we celebrate this Mass this evening. What a great weekend it's been for the Church of Biloxi. As indicated in the entrance rites before Mass, no one comes to the altar alone. This past spring, as a church, we were celebrating, as we do every year, the great mysteries of Easter. And that goes on for many weeks. 3 weeks ago, we celebrated the great feast of Pentecost, the outpouring of God's Spirit on us as a church to inherit everything that God gives to us in Jesus. And forever, sealed in the Spirit, we are the body of Christ. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Trinity Sunday, the very mystery that gives us definition of who we are as a people. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And forever we are changed as God's people, as Christians. Last week, we celebrated the great feast of Corpus Christi, the body and blood of Jesus, the gift that feeds the spiritual life given to each one of us in baptism. And the Mass that Father Colton is celebrating here this evening, Christ the High Priest, the priesthood of Jesus Christ. My friends, the priesthood is this theological reality of how we understand how God chooses, how He chooses to save us. How God is choosing to lead us into heaven, how God chooses to forgive sins, how God chooses to make each one of us a saint. Yesterday at the cathedral, if you were at the Mass, the gospel that Father Colton chose comes from the Last Supper, where Jesus says to his apostles, "It was not you who chose me. It was I who chose you, and I chose you to bear fruit, fruit that would remain." My friends, all of us are called into God's providence. I choose each one of you, God says to us in our prayer. I choose you to bear fruit. Now, that might seem pretty daunting. That might seem like a heavy responsibility. But I would ask us for a moment to think of a young man who we heard from yesterday in the first reading at the cathedral, and coincidentally on this weekend, these masses, the church prescribes Jeremiah. When Jeremiah, as this young man, was called to speak on behalf of God, as we heard yesterday in the first reading, the very beginning of that book of Jeremiah, he begins to, not complain, but was hesitant. I am too young. I'm too inexperienced. I don't have the words. In this context of the Old Testament, the people of God, Israel, are being invaded. They're being exiled. In their frustration and their lack of faith, they turn to idolatry. So here's this young man that God says, I want you to love them. I want you to prophesy. I want you to encourage them. I want you to admonish them. I choose you. I'm too young. I don't know if I can do this. And the Lord says in those opening words of that book of Jeremiah, "Have no fear. I am sending you." And God in his spirit touches the lips of Jeremiah. He touches his lips. What you say, the strength by which you say it, will come from me. So our first reading today, let's fast forward this now. He's now right in the middle of his ministry. And as we heard in that first reading, Jeremiah recognizes terror on every side. They're whispering against me. Even my friends are seeking missteps. So how does Jeremiah respond to that? "But the Lord is with me like a mighty champion. They will not triumph." This is a different Jeremiah than we heard from yesterday. A young man who's scared, inexperienced, "I don't know if I can do this," to this man who stands in his prayer, "The Lord is with me like a mighty champion. They will not triumph." Because when God touches our lips, our souls, when he touched the lips of Jeremiah, nothing can stop the word of God. Nothing. And that's why that first reading ends today. "Sing to the Lord," Jeremiah says. "Praise the Lord." See, the victory of God's word is what Jeremiah had to experience. He had to learn that God's word will always triumph, because forever he himself was touched by the word. When Jeremiah was being introduced to the people of God, the Lord whispered to him, "I formed you, Jeremiah, in the womb. I dedicated you. I appointed you." And therefore, it's in that spirit that God says to those broken down, tired people, confused people, in Jeremiah, "I will give you shepherds after my own heart," God says, not just any shepherds, shepherds after my heart. Jeremiah's lips were touched, consecrated, formed, dedicated, and appointed to speak and to love and to guide. This, my friends, is what God was sharing with the people of God. And that was just Jeremiah. The whole Old Testament prefigures the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. So how did his life end? Was it all worth it? Jeremiah himself would be exiled with many of his people, and they killed him. Was it worth it? Yes, because years later, God's word doesn't end in death. It was just the beginning. And here we are on this Sunday evening, having heard yesterday and today those words of Jeremiah, because they're the words of God. I got to tell you, yesterday after the ordination, Father Colton had to quickly unvest and get ready for the reception. And we were in the dining room of the cathedral, and I said to him something like, "Well, you've been ordained a deacon, ordained a priest, and who knows where things will be maybe 25 years from now?" And he just quickly said, "Yeah, maybe I'll die a martyr's death." Bishop Kinnaman, I think he did take the promise of obedience, so that can be arranged, I'm sure, here. Be careful for what we ask for, Father Colton. Actually, St. Augustine said that. The vocation of every Christian is to be a martyr. No, life isn't cheap. We don't throw it away. See, martyrdom says, as Christians, my life belongs to you, God, my family, my friends, all the good things that I have. Father Colton can say that. Lord, this is your priesthood. It's all a gift. How do you want me to live this? That's the spirituality of us Christians. See, Jeremiah, in today's reading, was able to stand before God's people with conviction, not with pride, not with arrogance, not with a false religiosity or a false piety. He stood with truth. Yesterday, as you may have known, was the birthday of St. John the Baptist. One of the few birthdays that are observed in our liturgical calendar. You know, he wasn't even really supposed to be born. Elizabeth and Zachariah, at that stage in their life, were not able to give birth anymore. But here comes this great gift of John the Baptist. Coincidentally, the day that Father Colton was ordained. So what did John do with his life as God was calling him forth? He would have the privilege, John the Baptist, as he introduced his friends and his disciples to Jesus. Ecce Agnus Dei. He wasn't speaking Latin, but he said, look, behold, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He had the privilege and the responsibility with human lips to utter those words. Behold, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. A little bit later, in a few minutes of this Mass, Father Colton will utter those same words to us. John the Baptist heralded that God's kingdom was here, and he himself was martyred because the gospel of Jesus Christ is a radical gospel. It changes everything. Jeremiah experienced that death as an anticipation of the Messiah, and we have inherited this good news. So yes, St. Augustine is right. The vocation of every Christian is to be a martyr because truth and life always prevail. So my friends, all this little theology here, what does this mean for you and for me on this Sunday evening? Well, presumably almost everyone in this church is baptized. We are baptized into the one priesthood of Jesus. Jesus perfects everything of the Old Testament, fulfills the power of God, and now calls us today, in this 21st century, to share in this priesthood in a profound, intimate, and personal and loving way. As a matter of fact, it's his priesthood that gives meaning to all the questions we've been asking from the beginning of time. Why am I here? Why did God make me? Where am I going? Why is there suffering? Why is there death? My friends, only in Jesus are those questions answered. I am the way. I am the truth. I am life. St. Paul was teaching this to the early church in our second reading that we heard this evening. Sin entered the world through one man, through his sin, Adam. And death resulted. And now through another man, the God-man, comes redemption and salvation. Behold, I make all things new. I make your death, your sin, your frailty, your confusion, your fears. I make it all new. God touches the lips of Jeremiah. God blessed Elizabeth and Zechariah with the birth of John the Baptist. The Blessed Virgin Mary, immaculately conceived to birth the Word of God, she is a human tabernacle, the body and blood of Jesus. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. So my friends, this priesthood of Christ is not some theological, remote, distant reality. We've been baptized by this Word of God, in this Word of God, for this Word of God. You are Christian. And this priesthood that Jesus lives so perfectly is a priesthood that teaches, a priesthood that makes holy, a priesthood that leads us to heaven. You and I have that great responsibility, not just for ourselves, for the people around us, to teach, to sanctify, to lead others to this truth. From this body of Christ, we are, as baptized, come some men who Jesus wants to stand in his person, not to represent him. That's what we do. That's who we are as a church. We represent Jesus. But some men are called to stand in his place, to baptize in his name, to forgive in his name, to anoint in his name, and to bring to us his body and his blood in his name. This is how close God is. We all have family members and friends. We've all experienced it. Where is this God? of the New Testament. Sometimes it's hard to see him. Sometimes it's hard to hear him. Sometimes it's hard to experience him because of the frailty of our human nature. Jesus is the kingdom that John the Baptist heralded. No wonder the angel Gabriel would be able to say to Mary, "Nothing is impossible for God." But Jeremiah in the beginning was confused. "But I'm too young. I don't have the words. I'm inexperienced." And how often maybe we have felt the same thing. But with Jesus, as we trust in him, everything's possible. God always provides. He never fails. Oh yes, Jesus has no secrets about what this road looks like. "You too," he tells us, "must pick up the cross and follow me." Brothers and sisters, the cross is the stuff of saints. The cross is who we are. We sign ourselves all the time with this cross. We don't fear it because Jesus said, "I am with you until the end of time." And so 26 years ago, something happened, Miss Donna. Something happened, and this young man came into our life. Like Jeremiah, God's word touched Jeremiah's lips. It brought forth John the Baptist. The ordination gospel yesterday from John, it's a humbling reminder, Father Colton, when Jesus tells his apostles and tells us, "It was I who chose you." Father Colton, don't ever forget that. Those are words of consolation when your priesthood and your own faith might be challenged. He chose you. God does not make mistakes. Indeed, in this choice, we have to freely respond. And how we respond, that's the wonderful thing about being a Christian. I live in New Orleans. I'm the rector of the seminary where Father Colton's been for the past 4 years, where these seminarians have been, and it's such an honor to be able to serve them. This morning, I got up, did a little exercise. I spent the night here. Had my sweatpants, t-shirt. I went to Walmart this morning to get water. I'm in the checkout line, and I'm looking at the newspapers, and I knew there was some article written about Father Colton. And then at the checkout line, it says, on the front page of your paper in Mississippi here, "Our kind of people," and there's Father Colton, and Deborah was the lady working the register, and I'm holding this paper like I've never seen a newspaper before, and she says, she's waiting for me to check out, and I'm just staring at this newspaper, and there is Father Colton, and he says in the article, he had many choices. "I was very into sports. I was a good student. I had a lot of friends. I just loved growing up here. I had a great childhood." Donna, would you agree with that? Indeed, he had a lot of choices. And God chose him, and he freely responded. In our gospel today, Jesus is specifically talking to the 12 apostles. And he says to them two things. "What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light." This boy, this teenager, this young man, and now this grown man and this priest has spoken many things in his heart. And Jesus tells his apostles, "Now, Father Colton, speak them in the light." It takes courage. We will be persecuted. God's word always prevails. He says, secondly, "What you hear whispered," he says to the apostles, "now proclaim it on the housetops." The whisper of God first came to you, Father Colton, through your mom, Miss Donna. She loves you. That was the love of God. The whisper of God, as your dad was passing away 5 months ago. We pray for Edgar Poe, who's watching upon Father Colton, no doubt, at this time. The whisper of God with great friends, with your friend Bo, and with your friends you've made in the seminary, and so many more. The people of God, the parishes that you've served, the mission experiences, the schools, all of this has been a contribution to your vocation. And Jesus says to you and to those apostles, proclaim all of it on housetops. Father Colton, you've had 26 years of formation. In Psalm 69, that was prayed for us by the Scola after the first reading. Lord, in your great love, answer me. Well, he's answered you, Father Colton. All the questions that you had. Why am I here? Why did God create me? Lord, in your great love, answer me. He has. And my dear brothers and sisters, whatever questions that we have, God will answer us. That's how much he loves us. So the question, if he answers us, maybe the question as this weekend comes to a close, how are you living out Jesus' priesthood? We're all baptized into it. As Father Colton celebrates Christ the High Priest, this Mass for us, may all of us be renewed and reconfirmed in our commitment. For as Father will say to us later, behold, this is the Lamb of God. Now proclaim it on the rooftops. As Jeremiah was chosen and touched, as John the Baptist was chosen and touched, as the Blessed Mother was chosen and touched, each of us are chosen and touched. Father Colton, you have been chosen. You are now ordained. Let us praise the Lord. God will provide. Best wishes, Father Colton. The church loves you. Thank you for saying yes. God bless you.